Okay, thank you very much. I would like to talk about today this stellar evolutions in a very massive stars. I will talk about the first thin periodic variations in S-door variables and alpha signal variables. And then today I would like to talk about only radio pulsations, non-radio pulsations excited by strange mode instability. And finally, using these informations, I'd like to say something about the wind muscles during the very massive stars. This is the very famous HI diagram produced by Humphrey Davidson. And it shows many LBV stars. I call those LBV stars as S-door variables because that those stars are not only B stars, but sometimes they are A stars. So I call those LBV stars S-door variables. Okay, I talk about the stars luminous enough, about 5.2 in log L or larger stars. For those stars, there are well known the very long time scale, very large variations. It's called LBV or S-door phase. Their magnitude change, it's due to the temperature change. Actually the luminosity does not change, but the effective temperature change. So the visual magnitude change in a years or decade. But less well-known thing is that if you look at the detailed variations, you see relatively regular pulsations of the periods of 10 to 100 days. For this particular star, R71 in LMC, change the color from here to this. The radius changes, so the pulsation period changes from blue phase to red phase, from several 10 days to nearly 100 days. So we can assume that those really nearly periodic variations are radio pulsations, because the pulsation period increases as the radius increases. Another group of stars I would like to talk about is called alpha signal variables. The periods are similar to S-door variables, between it's 100 days and 14 days. And this is in LMC stars, Hipparcos supergiant variables in LMC stars. This is the relatively newly found similar type of stars in the neighborhood galaxy of NGC 300. Okay, those are similar periods, and light curve is relatively simple. And again, I assume those stars pulsate in radio mode. This is the distribution of the two types variable stars I talked about. S-door variables are S squares, and alpha signal variables in and triangles. You see, those stars distributed are, the distribution is mixed. There is no distinction between alpha Cygni and S-star variables. So the only difference is that alpha Cygni variables does not show LBV type, large timescale variations, but they show semi-regular pulsations of 10 days to, with periods of 10 days to 100 days. Okay, so I'd like to say that the distribution is not bounded by color like a Cepheid or beta Cephei stars, but the distribution is bounded by luminosity, not color. Okay, they're bounded in this luminosity. There is no color boundary. This is the property we expect when the strange mode excitation are working for these stars. So let me explain what are strange mode strange mode. This is a radial pulsations for zero-age main sequence stars or very massive stars. The closest are ordinary stars, and you see this is the vertical axis are normalized by this mass and radius. So with for ordinary modes, the normalized frequency does not change very much. But you see there are different series which behaves differently. Those we call strange modes. Why strange modes behave differently from ordinary modes are from the confinement of amplitude of pulsations. This shows several modes here and here, and these two here. One is strange mode, one is ordinary mode. The difference in the amplitude distribution is that the amplitude distribution in for strange mode are strongly confined near the surface, where the gas pressure to total pressure is less than 10%. Other modes, the energy is distributed for ordinary mode, energy are distributed rather widely, but strange mode energy is confined very near the surface. So for ordinary mode, frequency or ordinary mode are characterized by this parameter, and the normalized one behaves very does not change as the stellar parameter changes. But this location moves outward as the mass, the mass of the zero-age main sequence star increases. This region moves outward, so the frequency, normalized frequency, decreases. Okay, that's why we call strange modes. And those strange modes are unstable. Not all, but sometimes, in the extreme case, those are nearly dynamically unstable. Let me explain why those strange modes are unstable. In the extremely non-adiabatic limit, I assume that I'm saying that thermal time goes to zero. That occurs when the luminosity mass ratio is very large. In that case, this is normal linearized energy equation. I'm talking about only envelope mode, so I can neglect this part in a nuclear annihilation rate. So thermal times goes to zero means we have this condition. The perturbation of luminosity is zero, gradient is zero. So we since we are talking about near the surface, this means the flux perturbation is zero. So from this condition, we can derive something like this relation between pressure perturbation and density perturbation. This is vastly different. This is the differential relation. But in the adiabatic relation, we have algebraic relations. So in the adiabatic relation, delta P and delta rho must be in phase. There is no phase difference. But in this form, if you put the plane parallel wave, now plane waveform, we have imaginary unit here. So it makes, this shows that delta P and delta rho has a large phase difference, almost 90 degrees in the extreme case. So that means we have a very strong phase difference between perturbation pressure and perturbation density. And so we have very no dynamical type, dynamically like instability. So that's why we have instability due of strange modes. So this occurs. The important thing is that we should have radiation pressure dominated. That occurs only when the luminosity to mass ratio is larger than 10,000 or so. So that is this boundary shows the instability boundary for low order radial modes, including beta Cepheid instability part and Cepheid blue edge. Between this, in the high luminosity part, these two instabilities are connected due to the strange mode instability. And as I said before, in the Kappa mechanism part, the boundaries are bounded by color. But in the strange mode part, we have a more or less horizontal boundaries. That's the character of strange mode instability. And before, by passing, let me say that when in a very luminous stars, we have a monotonic instability boundary here, above which the stars are monotonically unstable. This might be related to the Humphrey-Davidson, the presence of one Humphrey-Davidson limit. But I will talk about the strange mode instability today. But the problem is that the usual models, standard models, the horizontal boundary here, it's obviously luminous than the distribution of LVVs and alpha signal variables. That's the problem. That is known for long. And so the Lamas et al. And involving Kony rejected the explanation for these SDR variables by strange mode instability. But I would like to say, if increase the enhance if we enhance the mass, the mass loss, we have larger luminosity to mass ratio for a given luminosity. So probably we can solve the problem. So I assumed that I put in a parameter to enhance the standard mass loss rate by F wind parameter. And I changed F parameter between 1, 2, 3 and see what happens. This is it's too many lines. Sorry. The important thing is that if we increase the wind parameter to 2, the strange mode instability, the luminosity for the strange mode instability decreases here. So that's a good sign. So let's compare these stars. And it's better, but still we can't explain the pulsations of these stars. And so I further increase 2, 3. It's different thing happened in evolution. Usually the helium burning, most of the helium burning phase occurs in red supergiant. But if the mass loss rate is significantly higher than standard one, the blue loop, the evolution returns to this, and during this blue loop phase, the helium, core helium burning occurs. This is the mass change, mass decrease in this part, and when the mass decreases enough, the effective temperature increases to this star, close to this star. And this is the surface hydrogen abundance. Surface hydrogen abundance is not very small, but becomes to around 0.2. So because of the decrease of mass, the instability, the strange mode instability actually occurs around with this mass, around this phase, core helium burning. And this is the periods are compared as a function of effective temperature for the R71 in LMC. It's not very perfectly match, but the order is the same. So I say it's comparable. So another one, let me remind you that we say that there are two recently known alpha signal variables. It's located here, way down the instability boundary for wind factor of 2. So the same thing I did is for these stars, increasing the wind factor to 3. And again, we have a blue loop in helium burning phase. And luminosity, the excited radio pulsation, the period of the excited mode increases as the effective temperature decreases. So we have comparable periods for these stars. But we need enhanced wind mass loss. So the necessity of the low mass is not new in this calculation, but a few years ago, Wojtek-Dzimbowski and Slavsinka concluded, due to the envelope model analysis, they need small masses, these two stars. So these two masses they need actually found if we increase the wind factor by 3. This is just around 6, between 5 and 10, and around 12. This is just they need it for these stars to explain pulsation of these stars. So this is my conclusion. The thin periodic variations S-DOR and Alpha Cygni variables are radio pulsations excited by strange mode instability, but we need enhanced, strongly enhanced mass loss, wind mass. Thank you very much for your attention.
Very interesting, Hideki. Of course, as you may know, unfortunately, the tide is going the other way as far as mass loss rates, right? I mean, the clumping corrections for mass loss rates basically imply F wind is 1/3 instead of 3. So that seems to be going in the wrong direction, but you and I can talk about ways around that, or if there is one. But I wonder if, do your models include this potential for this inflation effect, where the iron bump basically can inflate the envelope? And if you include the iron bump and possible ways in which you could get a very extended, very highly radiation pressure dominated extended envelope with relatively little mass. And it strikes me that that kind of situation could be really, I don't know enough about the details of how your mechanism is excited, but it certainly has the conditions where the radiation pressure is much bigger than the gas pressure. So maybe you and I can talk about that offline, but this is a really interesting connection to what I was trying to get at the end of my talk. Thank you.
Let me say that we need strong mass loss, relatively cooler part. The massive part, mass decreases in the blue part significantly, but significant mass loss occurs in the radiant part.
Again, it was a really great talk. I was just wondering if it's possible, following up on what Stan was saying, is it possible that the Alpha Cygni star, since the tide is going the other way on mass loss, is it possible that maybe Alpha Cygni stars are S Dorada stars who have gone through an LBV phase and lost that mass that you need them to lose, and then they have that high L to M ratio?
Yeah,
but they've lost it in that way.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So if I understand correctly, you would like to increase the mass loss rate,
yes,
factor of 3, go to a red supergiant phase where you lose all this mass, mm-hmm, then come back in a blue loop,
yeah,
and get the S Dorados and Alpha Cygni variability. However, you did this to explain stars like HR Carinae, if I remember correctly, which is a S Dorados at a lower luminosity. And the work of Grow showed that that star is rotating at the critical velocity. In fact, during the S Dorados variability, which is very interesting, the star is moving from being at critical to be slightly below the critical limit and coming back. So it seems like rotation there is playing a role. Now, my question would be, how you can get a star rotating at critical velocity after experiencing a strong phase of mass in the red supergiant phase, which is where the star basically loses most of its angular momentum?
Yeah, rotation might be very important, but I didn't include rotation at all.
I guess a question from a different quarter. When we talk about this, one of the questions that people say at Ohio State worry about is the degree to which the mass loss is occurring in a very sudden episodic events at the very, very end of the main sequence phase, possibly triggered by something like radiation pressure instability. So is there a way of modeling what would happen to the structure under those circumstances, if you just imagined you were right after an Eta Carinae episode or something like that? Because that might be an interesting place where you might expect to see some unusual response of the structure to a sudden change like that.
Only thing I can think of is that we can produce a model with steady with steady wind velocity near the surface, rather than assuming the hydrostatic conditions. Okay.
Very, very interesting from the point of view of the theory of pulsations to look at these strange modes. So I've got two questions here. In your analysis describing the instability, you went from having a constant luminosity perturbation to having zero luminosity perturbation. Yeah. That wasn't quite clear to me how that happened. And secondly, could you give a physical explanation for the instability?
It's too complicated.
There's another constraint on the mass loss.
Yes.
And that is these stars become supernovae. The supernova light curves are very sensitive to the mass. Mm-hmm. And the larger masses that you mentioned before you added extra mass loss would be unlikely to give the sort of light curves that we see. However, there are not many stars up here, so we need to go through the statistics carefully. But that's possibly another integrated constraint on the mass loss, independent of the theory of how the mass gets lost.
That was a great session.